All right, Momo, the NBA office has assured the league's coaches association that age alone will not be enough to prevent a coach from going to restart of the season. Individuals at high risk for serious coronavirus complications will not go, but simply being older without other risks won't put someone in that category. Rick Carlisle says everybody goes through a screening process, but we've been insured by the league that no one will be red flagged from going to Orlando based on age alone. Momo, how smart is it to let the most vulnerable age group, older coaches, into the NBA? And by the way, this can be assistant coaches, into the bubble.
You know, I'm really torn on this one. I think that that has to be an individual decision. I think if somebody had diabetes, heart problems, really high blood pressure, that would be a red flag, and that should be a bigger red flag than just being over 65. There are several head coaches. There are also several assistant coaches that are over 65 and are in great shape. Like, I know Greg Popovich, he had some health issues a couple of years ago. He's like 71, I think, and he has completely changed his diet. He works out all the time. He looks like he's lost like 30 pounds to me. I know Mike D'Antoni, same thing. So to me, those guys seem pretty darn healthy. If they get cleared by a medical board, I'm okay with it. But I also do, you know, I'm applying a certain standard of, if it was my dad, would I want him to go? And my answer is no.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? Really tough. It's a really tough one. It is arbitrary to choose an age to say, all right, if you're over 60, you're not going. I don't think that's right. I think the NBA is approaching this the right way, which is to screen the older coaches and the assistant coaches for any pre-existing conditions. You know, the problem is, and the fear is, that one of these older coaches gets sick and gets seriously ill, and it winds up screeching the entire bubble to a halt. But I think it's a risk that you've got to take, because you can't discriminate based on age on this issue.
Yeah, you leave it to them.
Yeah.
The NBA is close to signing off on a second bubble in Chicago for the 8 teams that were not invited to play in Florida, according to ESPN's Jack McMullen. They are going to participate in a mini training camp and subsequent games against other clubs with a target date of September. The details are still being hammered out, but Chicago has emerged as a potential site for this second bubble. Mace, do you have any interest whatsoever in watching the bottom 8 teams play in the second bubble?
No, what is the point of the second bubble? Those teams are going absolutely nowhere. If the issue is safety, you want the fewest players and teams involved as possible. You don't want to expand this thing. I think this is a horrible idea. Nobody's going to have any interest in watching, and it's an unnecessary risk being taken by the NBA. What do you think?
So I actually am in a different spot on it. I think it's fine. I think I'd rather them just have their own training camps just so that they're allowed to bring the players back. I mean, what I've heard from the teams like the Warriors, the Hawks, the Charlotte, you know, the teams that are not in this, the Timberwolves, they just don't want to go from March until December without seeing their players, having any kind of protocols for bringing guys back in and training outside of, you know, the one-on-one workouts. And it's really important to younger players. And so I don't know why we need to play games. I don't know why they can't just scrimmage themselves and just do the same kind of testing. But they've compared it to like an NFL offseason camp, like, you know, OTAs for them. It's not really about, hey, we got to have people watching our games. It's more just about player development and bringing people back.
Stupid and so unnecessary then, risk.
Yeah, so then why don't they just do their own camps? That just seems weird to me, especially since you've got guys that are like all-stars that are opting out, saying they're not going to go because they're worried about the risks.
Yeah, so this would be
ones that actually matter.
The way that they're doing it, I think, if they're going to do it, I think it's smart, is it's September, so hopefully we know a little bit more about the virus by September. Everybody just trying to buy time for either a vaccine or treatment options. And they're doing it in Chicago. I've heard a couple sites. We just did All-Star there, so they know there's a couple of arenas.
Yeah, right.
A lot of hotels connected to those arenas.
You're okay with it.
Yeah, I think I'm okay with it. Because I've said this before. I think the NBA bubble is going to be one of the safest places on earth. It's going to be definitely going to be safer than being outside the bubble and playing in pickup games.
But Chicago is not, there's not a natural bubble in Chicago.
Well, there is actually, there's this one arena that I was at All-Star. It's called the Wind Trust Arena.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily the Bulls Arena, but it has a Marriott that's connected by a sky bridge. So if you just had like that Marriott as your hotel and you have the Wind Trust Arena, which also has a convention center around it.
Yeah.
It could actually kind of work.
I'm sorry. Yeah. It's an unnecessary risk for the NBA to be taken right now. The Detroit Tigers today announced a multi-year deal with sportsbook PointsBet, the first such partnership between a Major League Baseball franchise and a bookmaker. Beginning this season, we think, which is about 23 days away, PointsBet signage will be displayed at Comerica Park, and the sportsbook will be featured on the Detroit Tigers radio network. PointsBet became the latest sportsbook to become an authorized gaming operator for MLB. They will receive access to MLB's official data feed and the right to use MLB marks and logos within the sportsbook's products. Momo, what do you think of this partnership?
You know, I just think that you don't stop commerce. You can try to regulate it, but you're basically just going to make people go around. And so the NBA kind of leaned into this a couple of years ago with this idea that, like, you know, like people are going to gamble. So, you know, I don't like it in baseball. This is the same sport that banned Pete Rose for life for gambling on baseball, but it's also kind of different with, you know, you can't tell people not to do it. They're going to do it anyway.
You know what? This is the best thing that could possibly happen to baseball.
Mm.
You know, betting drives the NFL.
Yeah.
Betting is huge for the NBA. Baseball, you know, I'm always looking for some action, right? And I think the average fan is looking for some action. I want to play. I want to have something at stake. And people, you know, play fantasy baseball. You and I play fantasy baseball. Mm-hmm. That gives us a little something at stake. But to have a little money on Walker Buehler tonight against Madison Bumgarner and the Diamondbacks, to me, it gives me another way to invest in the game. So I am completely for these partnerships with bookmakers. I think it has the potential to be really good for baseball.
Yeah, that's a great point. Cause I, there was a time there where when we didn't have teams in LA, all I cared about in the NFL was betting. You know, I mean, I wasn't betting necessarily money, but fantasy. I mean,
sure.
You and I play fantasy baseball. I know every infielder in the National League.
I know every setup guy in the National League.
Right. We're so plugged in because of rotisserie. Yeah, you're right. That's a good call.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Mace, on Friday, three separate letters signed by 87 investment firms and shareholders worth a collective $620 billion asked Nike, FedEx, and Pepsi to terminate their business relationships with the NFL's Washington Redskins unless the team agrees to change its controversial name. Native American leaders have pushed for the D.C. team to change its name for decades, but including through two high-profile lawsuits, but the team has dug it in its heels with owner Dan Snyder saying in 2013 he would never change the name. Mace, do you think this is finally going to work?
Well, I'll add to this story. Daniel Snyder has been trying to build a brand new RFK Stadium in Washington, D.C., but he will not be able to build it unless he changes the team's nickname.
Wow.
The Democrat Eleanor Holmes, the district's delegate to the House of Representatives, says, quote, "I call on Dan Snyder once again to face that reality. Since he still desperately wants to be in the nation's capital, he has got a problem he can't get around." I think between sponsorship and the fact that he wants to build a new stadium in D.C. proper, I think this may be the perfect storm. I think this may get Dan. I mean, he could dig in his heels and it could go the other way, but it is very odd to see a message on social media from the Washington Redskins about the social justice movement. When Redskins is the team nickname, there's something unbelievably hypocritical about it. I think this may be like the Mississippi state flag.
Yeah.
It may change, and it may change in a hurry.
Real quick.
All right. Last one. Oh, no, we actually have a little bit more time. All right. WNBA star Maya Moore has helped a man named Jonathan Irons to be released from his 50-year prison sentence. With the help of Moore, he's now out of jail. proving that he wasn't present at the scene of a robbery and shooting that led to his conviction. Maya Moore has given up her WNBA career, using her clout to help unjustly convicted people. There's protesting for racial justice. Then there's Moore, who gave up everything. What do you think of Maya Moore?
Well, I mean, I think it's just absolutely incredible that this actually happened. I remember when she stopped playing a couple of years ago, I was like, wait, what? For one case, you know? I mean, we've seen I listened to Serial. Have you listened to that podcast?
I've not, but
right?
I know people who have.
Yeah,
it's too smart for me.
Oh, it's fun. You know, it's like a true crime thing where somebody believes that one of their family members who was convicted is innocent, and they kind of reinvestigate the case and poke holes in it. I've seen a lot of this type of stuff where people from the outside will bring up the type of arguments and legal research and legal arguments that should have been brought up at a trial. And sometimes you just need to shine a light on a case. Like in the case of Serial, it actually got Maryland to reinvestigate the case. I think there's a bunch of hearings. But I very rarely do you see, you know, a public figure like this give up a career, devote herself to this. And I don't even know what the connection between her and this
you know,
man
I
was.
Don't know either. I don't know what prompted her to do
this. But very rarely do you actually see this work this quickly.
But this is kind of putting your money
it's
where
amazing.
Your mouth is.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's an incredible story. It really is.
It really
All right,
is.
Got time
and
for one more,
legacy.
Momo.
Okay. Lift Every Voice and Sing, traditionally known as the Black National Anthem, is expected to be performed live or played before every Week 1 NFL game this year. Mm-hmm. And the league is considering a variety of other measures during the upcoming season to recognize victims of police brutality, a source familiar with the league's discussion told The Undefeated on Thursday. The song would be performed before the Star Spangled Banner, the NFL season opener scheduled for September 10th. Mace, do you think Lift Every Voice and Sing, the unofficial Black National Anthem, is this going to be a one-week thing that we see in Week 1, or do we think that's going to become part of what we do before every single sporting event?
Boy, I'll tell you what, it would be great if that's a thing that happens at every sporting event. You know, that's a powerful reminder associated with the National Anthem. And think about this. You're going to have players who would take a knee during the national anthem and then stand for this one, which is a really, really powerful message. You know, I hope that the NFL does take real steps here to address social justice issues. And I said the other day, I wish baseball would. Baseball's been fairly quiet on issues of race and on issues of police brutality and on social justice. And I really think baseball should embrace this. Baseball should find a way to show solidarity with all those people of color who have been unjustly treated over the years. Because I'll tell you what, baseball is only, I think it's 8% of players
8%.
Are African-American now.
Yep.
And you see the demographics of the people who are marching. It is, generally speaking, people under the age of 35. It is that next generation of sports fan that baseball can connect to, and this is one way that they can really do it. So I know baseball is viewed as, you know, it's the heartland, and it's, you know, St. Louis, and it's, you know, the middle of the country. You know what? Baseball needs to take a stand, and a powerful stand, and I think it will be good and healing for all of us, but also show that baseball really gets it with a new generation of fans and a new generation potentially of African-American athletes. And there are your headlines today. All right, coming up next for you. By the way, I've got the game of games, so don't worry.
Okay, good.
I've got game of games. Momo was going to do it. I've got it figured out, so don't worry about that. Coming up next, Damian Lillard. Talking about how difficult it's going to be inside the bubble. Plus, Anthony Davis did a Zoom call today. We got some interesting stuff from him. Mason in Ireland, Momo's in for John, 710 ESPN. Here's a little sneak preview. I will destroy him. Destroy him. I've already got my hot dogs cooked, so they're going to be room temperature.
That's good.
Which
That's
I think is
one.
Best. I got a great big bowl of water to dunk those Wonder Bread buns in, and then you know what you do after you dunk a Wonder Bread bun in water.
Mm-hmm. Yuck. If you make that noise so too gross. Many times, I'm
so,
really going to
so
barf.
So gross.
You like really enjoy that noise.
I love that noise. I love that noise.
So gross.
And then you down the dog. So we're each going to have 11 Nathan's dogs on Wonder Bread buns to start. So I don't think we're going to get to 11. Do you think either one of us gets to 11?
No, that's a lot.
That's a lot. Linz?
I could just tell in our preview call.
My question is, after talking about this yesterday, about how many hot dogs you guys should prepare and everything, you said the first two, you decided today on the first of 11. Why 11? And why not eat that 12th one since hot dogs come in packs of 12?
Okay, so I'll tell you the honest reason. Juan is going to have hot dogs tonight for dinner.
Oh, you want to save them? Yeah, okay.
So you want to save one hot dog for him?
That is correct. He is going to have that dog.
Okay. All right.
So that's the reason. I don't think we're going to get to 11. My goal is 8.
I
think
I
agree
with
in
that.
7 minutes and 10 seconds will be an accomplishment that I can talk about for the rest of my life.
Well, here's my question. What if you guys both eat all 11 hot dogs and finish it like the same time?
It's first to 11. There's no way we can finish this same time.
Okay. We'll see.
Yeah, there's a lot of this. What if we're both on 6 when the buzzer? You know,
it'll be
I already have the solution.
It's going to be the marquee race all over again.
No, I'm
you're
better.
Right.
I'll
it's
be better
be
than
the marquee
Carrie.
Race.
Carrie like messed up the start, right? Like, wasn't it like on your mark, go? No, wait, ready, set.
Yeah, she did. She did mess up the start. but it is disputed who won. The marquee race.
Yeah, so, I'm going to be really decisive. I will not let that happen. If there's a tie, I'm telling you already, I know what overtime is. Fastest to finish a dog, you got to open your mouth, show me that you finished the dog, and that's it. One dog overtime.
Wow. Wow.
Bronny's got the dings to count them.
Okay, good. Good.
So if you're stuck on 6 and he's coming up, you know, the last few seconds to try to get it down. Okay, just start eating. And I think what I'm going to be the judge of is if you get into the next one, this is what we have to talk about in advance. If let's say you're on 7 and you get half a dog eaten, do we count that half a dog or not count that
half
a dog?
Count. Sure. Don't count.
You don't think that counts as
not at
6
all.
And a half dogs?
No, because I guarantee you in the real competition, they don't count it.
In the real one, they don't. Okay, fair enough.
So it's not just so in other words, if we're both on our, let's say, 7th dog, that means we finish tied at 6.
That would, unless you want to see.
Well, I could have you hold up the two dogs and I could eyeball it and say you ate more.
Yeah, you could do that.
I think we should avoid a tie if at all possible.
I'm looking up the rules, so I don't even know what we're talking about.
It's not going to be close, guys. It's not going to be close. I'm going to take down 8 dogs, and I'm going to win this sucker.
Mason is psyching himself out now just because Slee was staying silent.
Yeah, Slee was
not talking any trash whatsoever.
So cool and Slee-esque during our preparations today.
When have you heard him not like that, though? Like,
Hey, guys, it's Alan.
That's pretty good, actually.
That's Alan when he pops on at night.
Yeah. Sounds about right. You know, he chills me out. Like, I'm just driving around and I listen. Chills me out.
Yeah, I know. I nodded off one night. All right. So, Anthony Davis held a Zoom call today.
Yeah.
Alan or Adam, you're going to have to tee these up for me because I don't see them on my sheet.
Okay. I think the most interesting thing he talked about was he was asked if he ever thought about actually sitting out and not going into the bubble, and this is
okay,
this is what he had to say.
You know, one, for the standpoint that, you know, I think we're in a good position to win a championship, but two, I think we're stronger together. You know, everyone in Orlando, we're going to obviously be talking about everything that's going on from a social injustice standpoint, and I think, you know, in a platform of the NBA where, you know, I think at that time we were going to be the only ones on TV, you know? So I think we were able to, you know, have more people in the room from other teams and receive other ideas and figure out how we can, how can we change the world? What can we do individually, and what can we do as a unit to make change? And I think the more people we have, you know, the more minds we have, the more ideas and thoughts we can come up with to kind of change the world, change what's going on. So for me, it was never a point of, you know, not going. Just because I feel like, you know, me individually trying to do it is not enough, you know. So if I have more guys who are going to be there who kind of have the same thoughts and ideas of that I have, and we can kind of sit down in the room and you know, brainstorm on what we can do, I think it'd be easier for everybody.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing, and I understand what Avery Bradley is doing. I mean, Momo, mm-hmm. is it more family or is it more social justice?
Oh, I think it's more family for him. I really family. Do. Yeah, he's got a 6-year-old son who's immunocompromised.
Okay.
And he's worried that, first of all, if the Lakers go to the championship, he wouldn't see his family, that he wouldn't feel comfortable bringing his son into the bubble.
Yeah, sure.
Because there would be some travel risk, et cetera. And so, therefore, he would go that long without seeing his family, and he's, like, not comfortable being away that long.
Yeah, okay, good.
I get that.
Because I'll tell you what, I think that the very fact, and you and Zach Lowe reported this the other day, that it is going to say Black Lives Matter on that NBA floor mm-hmm. is unbelievably powerful. I mean, it was just a couple of years ago, Momo, and mm-hmm. you'll remember this. Our company was very concerned about things getting too political,
mm-hmm.
and Black Lives Matter was actually considered to be, not officially, but it felt like it was a political statement. Now I think we're all on that page. Now I think the Black Lives Matter has become very, very mainstream, and the vast majority of Americans support it.
Yeah, I do too. I think, you know, that was... It's less seen. I mean, and think about how crazy this is, like, you know, advocating for every life to matter as much as another in our country. Like, how is that a political statement? That's literally what our Constitution says.
Yes.
Right. Like, that's yes. literally what our you know, that all lives were created equal. I mean, it's just all men were created equal. You can debate the men and women line there, but
yeah, sure.
I mean, okay, that is the fundamental precept of America, is that every single person is created equal. So that should not be a political statement to say Black Lives Matter.
Now, question.
I mean,
do you think the NFL or Major League Baseball will put Black Lives Matter on their fields?
I think they might. Yeah, I think it's going to go in that direction, because once one league does it, then I think every league has to come up with their own way to make this a similar statement to let people know, you know, yeah, we're on board. And I think you're right about baseball. They've got to come up with something too, whether it's on the field, whether it's, you know, on a jersey. Yeah. I think that's going to have to be part of the new calculation here. And I'm glad. Good.
Yeah. Should be. I hope baseball does it. Yeah. I hope the NFL does it. It's a powerful message. By the way, Major League Baseball is back in 22 days. Does that seem real?
Nope. Not at all.
22 days, Major League Baseball returns. The NBA is back. Lakers versus Clippers, 28 days away.
I mean, 22 days is really soon. I know they're working out at stadiums now. I think they're still in groups of five or something. You know, I don't know how this is going to work. I know they did their first round of testing this week in baseball. We'll see what that means. But,
22 days.
Yeah.
Ready or not. 3 weeks. It's going to make for a really interesting season, I think, mm-hmm. Because you're not going to see starting pitchers throw 8 innings or 7 mm-hmm. innings. You're going to see many more starts, especially after a limited spring training. You know, it may be Walker Buehler for 4 and go bullpen from there until Walker Buehler builds himself up. Same with Clayton Kershaw. You know, you're going to see short starts. And you're also going to see, you know, a lot of players. Given the fact that there's an expanded roster, you're going to see a lot more players. Mm-hmm. You're going to see, and this is where the Dodgers really benefit, the amount of depth that the Dodgers have. You know, a guy like Edwin Rios, who might not normally make the roster, is going to be on that 30-man roster and will have a chance to make an impact. So I think there are a lot of reasons for it to be compelling. I also think it's good for baseball if they make that deadline and they're back on July the 24th, if they get even a week ahead of the NBA. Even a week, it's a bit of a showcase for the sport.
Yeah, and remember, the NBA, I mean, you know, there was a picture of Zion Williamson in a mask today that went just totally viral.
Yeah, yeah.
We haven't seen anything like that in baseball. Just think of, like, everything that happens in the NBA is going to be huge. Like, every quote, every tweet, every – just the star power of the NBA. So you're right. Like, any even just a week ahead, all we've heard about baseball for months has been fighting, has been labor issues. Like, change the conversation, guys. Get people talking about your sport again and not about a scandal or about labor discussions.
And by the way, I don't want to miss out on this. It is 11 days away from LAFC versus the Houston Dynamos down in Orlando.
Yeah, that got a little scary, though. Did you see all the MLS players testing positive?
What team was it that had?
Dallas.
Dallas.
So here's what I think that we all have to wrap our minds around. There were six Dallas players who tested positive once they got to Orlando. So they had been tested when they were in Dallas.
Yep.
And they came back negative. They got on a plane. They flew to Orlando. The next day they tested in Orlando. They tested positive.
Yep.
I think it went something like three players tested positive one day and three more the next. So the idea is they probably contracted the virus at some point during either travel or a day or two before they left.
Right. So, it takes a couple of days for the viral load to ramp up in order to create a positive test. So there is that window where you might test negative, but – you do have the virus, and it's slowly ramping up.
And you could be contagious.
And the other thing is, we're going to find out, is that these things probably happen in clusters. If there's one, like, there's five.
Right, and I think that's what we all have to wrap our heads around, is that if that's why the daily testing is so important, but also why the other protocols are important, because if somebody gets it, but they're wearing a mask, and they're not going into any other people's rooms, and they're not... and they're being really safe about how they interact in close quarters with people, that lessens the chance that they spread it to somebody.
Yes.
So even like in your house, like even in our house right now, because we are so quarantined in our little pod of just me, Nevin, my parents, and Daniel.
Yes. Okay?
Because of that, we haven't been doing as much, you know, spraying bleach on the handles, and, you know,
right,
we wash our hands.
Because you're all in the same space.
Yeah,
you're part of a household.
But the more you start to see other people, whether it's you go to a doctor, you go to the market, you see, a family member, you got to start ramping that stuff up again. You got to start thinking through how you're doing things.
Yep. All right. Coming back next, a little bit more Anthony Davis, plus what Damian Lillard said about going into the bubble, which is interesting, plus at 4:45, we've got Radio Tinder. At 5:15, O'Shea Jackson Jr. is going to hang out with us for a couple of segments. And then at 6:15 is the first annual hot dog eating contest between me and Alan Sliwa. If you're looking for entertainment and information and all-around fun today, this is the place to be. Mason in Ireland, Momo's in for John, 710 ESPN. From everything else, Linz tells me today that Cam Newton signed for the NFL minimum. And the Rams have a backup quarterback named John Wolford who has never taken a snap in the NFL. And Cam Newton signed for the minimum. Lindsay Theory came on the other day and said, boy, it must be the dog days of summer if you're talking about Rams backup quarterback. And the reality is, no, you need multiple quarterbacks, especially this year, especially in the age of COVID, especially at that position where it's basically Jared Goff or bust. If Jared Goff gets hurt, John Wolford is the starting quarterback, and there's confidence in that when there are competent backups out there. Now that Cam Newton's off the market, I would really like to see the Rams pursue Colin Kaepernick.
I mean, what, you don't want Blake Bortles again? He's still out there.
Blake Bortles is still out there. Yeah, I mean, it can't be John Wolford, right? Just tell me it's not John Wolford.
I don't know. She said something. She said Mina Kimes thinks John Wolford's really good. I don't know. If Mina likes him, she's not just saying that. She
no,
saw
Mina's
something.
Good.
She
Mina's good.
It. She's a big football nerd.
Yeah.
Super nerdy on football. You know?
All right, I'll get to,
I
get
mean,
to that.
Maybe he's just one of those young ones.
Get to that Damian Lillard you know? Stuff in a minute. But first, I want to give Jeannie Buss a shout out. So Jeannie retweeted a tweet about Nike and FedEx and Pepsi, a push for them to sever ties with the Washington Redskins unless the team changes their name. Jeannie tweets this. The argument I've heard is if we change the team name, we lose our history. My reply, it's human beings who created the memories and won the games, not a logo. A change in name will not alter what Art Monk, Dexter Manley, Daryl Green, Doug Williams, etc. means to the fans. That is a good, strong argument. And good for Jeannie for weighing in.
Well, usually you don't see other owners talk about other owners, or you don't see owners talk about owners in other sports. Like,
yeah, this
is
a
like,
broadside,
you know,
against Dan Snyder.
Yeah. Boom. that was just boom from out of nowhere.
And she's completely right. I mean, it is time. It is time to make that,
it's been
that
time.
Change. Yeah.
It's been time. It should have happened years ago.
But I mean, especially now, the Mississippi State flag should have happened years ago. Confederate monuments dedicated to traitors who lost the war, those should have come down years ago. The Redskins nickname should have happened years ago, but it's all happening now, and it's all happening at once. And if there was ever a moment that it was going to happen, it would be right now.
Yeah, and you know, I think when Jeannie does that, there'll be not just pressure on other owners, but it opens the doors for other owners to come forward and kind of just lend their voice to that. And put pressure on Dan Snyder.
All right. Let's see. Damian Lillard. Here's what Damian Lillard said about going into the bubble.
My confidence ain't great. My confidence ain't great because you telling me you're going to have, you know, 22 teams full of players follow all the rules. Like, when we have 100% freedom, everybody don't follow all the rules. So, I mean, I don't have much confidence, but hopefully, you know, it'll be handled to a point where, like, we're not putting everybody at risk or in a dangerous position.
Now I'm going to say, why is it so hard to follow the rules? Why? I mean, those guys are, and it's not going to be an easy thing to live inside this bubble. It's not going to be an easy thing. But they do have every creature comfort in the world, whether it's video games or ping pong or playing golf or going fishing or whatever that happens to be that they want to do. You do have outlets without violating the sanctity of the bubble. And I understand you're not going to have for a month, you're not going to see your wife. You're not going to see your significant other. You're not going to bring another girl into the bubble or go visit another girl. But it's got to be unanimous that people follow the rules. Just like we saw with this the Dallas MLS team. One gets sick, five get sick. One person gets sick, you can take down a team. You know, if you're the last guy on the Lakers bench, I don't want to mention names, but if you're the last guy on the Lakers bench and you go out to a club or you meet up with somebody and you pick up the virus, you bring the virus back to the Lakers and you potentially risk getting somebody like AD or LeBron infected. And then they're gone for two weeks.
Well, it's not just their teammates, though. It's what if you're playing the Phoenix Suns, who have very little chance of making the playoffs, and one or two of their players decide they're going to go out or go to a restaurant or just have a gathering with some friends in the Orlando area. It'll be kind of kept behind closed doors, and there won't be any cell phone cameras out. And then you go play the Phoenix Suns, and one of those players gets
you pass it along.
These are the hypotheticals. Yeah. So it's not just guys on your team you have to worry about. It's everybody. There's a sort of collective responsibility that everybody takes going into the bubble. And I just think it's a long time. Like that, I have faith in the NBA players that they can do this, that they're prepared for it mentally, physically, etc. But I also just know myself how much I vary from day to day, week to week.
Sure.
And I have, you know, my family around me and all the comforts of my house, but, you know, still kind of scary to yeah. you know, just one week
but
to
I
the
mean,
next.
I hope everybody can follow the rules for a month. Everybody's got to be able to mm-hmm. follow the rules for a month.
You know what I thought was really funny was you had a couple of young guys that play, they're big gamers, I guess, like one of them being De'Aaron Fox. When someone asked him, like, oh, what about the challenges of living in the bubble? He was like, for me, I'm going to sit my ass in my room because if yep. I were at home, I'd be doing the same thing.
So by the way, thank God for video games, because that is what a lot of gamers in the NBA, a lot of guys spend their time doing that. And for them, yeah, it may not be as big of a shock to go into a bubble with some level of isolation. All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, it's time for Radio Tinder. Momo's in for John today. Lindsay, what do you got?
All right, guys, starting off with a bar opening on 4th of July, which would be a Saturday.
Yep.
Could be the first in the world to trial sterilizing visitors before they enter in a bid to stop the spread of coronavirus. This one, you've got to hear. Pubs, bars, and restaurants in England have been gearing up towards their reopening after closing down on March 23rd. And one pub owner said he's seriously considering installing a sterilization pod, which claims to be able to combat coronavirus. It's called the Sterigate, and it claims to be able to sterilize people for up to 24 hours by using contactless temperature checks and a three-stage disinfection process, the same sort of disinfectant which is used in antibacterial hand gels. So this is how it works. The decontamination tunnel contains a vapor that is said to contain active disinfection agents.
Yeah.
Lactic acid.
Sure.
Tartaric, peppermint oil, and lavender oil.
Yes.
Exactly. The company says it can sterilize everything from handbags to clothes mm-hmm. and shoes to hair and people. It's not cheap. People wanting to get one of these Sterigates, they cost about $10,000 plus the cost of the vapor. So going to a bar or a restaurant where you yeah. have to enter through the Sterigate, swipe left or swipe right.
Swipe left. The virus is inside you. It's not on the outside of you. It's when you talk. It's when you laugh. It's that's the droplets that go into the air. That's how you catch it. It's not just on the outside of your body. I'm swiping left.
Mama? Yeah, I don't need a company for this. I can just tell you, just wear a mask. Like I you can sterilize whatever you want to sterilize, but it comes out of your nose.
Right. So
and
it's
your
like
mouth.
As soon as you open your mouth, then the sterilization
yeah.
is a moot point, right?
Yes.
Correct.
All right. That's what I
so
thought.
We are unanimously swiped to the left.
But we okay. All right. So two favorite comfort foods have come together for the newest bite at Taco Bell.
Okay.
The grilled cheese burrito. A lot of cheese going on lately. It's touted as the cheesiest menu item of the year. The new offering has cheese on the inside and outside of the flour tortilla. It's filled with seasoned beef, rice, three cheese blend, crunchy red strips, chipotle sauce, and reduced fat sour cream. You can also get a vegetarian option asking for the meat to be swapped for beans. This extra cheesy burrito is only available for a limited time. So make sure if you want one of these,
yeah.
you got to do it soon.
Do it quick.
Taco Bell's grilled cheese burrito. Swipe left or swipe right.
Are there beans in it? Sauce? Is it what?
Did you not list me? Have you list all of the ingredients for a moment?
Yeah, I heard that. I'm just like,
yeah,
it sounds like the difference. I did. It was just like the whole thing. I was focused on cheese on the inside and outside.
Yeah,
I don't
cheese
think
on the inside and outside.
Me.
Yeah.
It's just crunchy. What is it? Crusty cheese? It'll be like.
Just go with it, Momo. I don't think she's eaten one.
How does that work, though? How do you have cheese on the outside of the flour?
Right.
Yeah, it is weird.
It seems really oily.
Here's the thing. Taco Bell was invented for stoners.
Yep.
Yeah.
It really is stoner food. I am going to swipe right on this because when I am in a low-key fade, the cheese on...
Bro.
Go ahead and play Zeke.
I'm low-key faded, bro.
When I am low-key faded, Give me cheese on the inside and the outside. Give me the nachos Bel Grande. Give me everything at Taco Bell. I am swipe right all the way on Taco Bell.
You know what's funny is a side note here. One of the restaurants back home, they have one of those, a taco that has the cheese on the inside and outside, and they call it a stoner shell. So you're right, Mace.
Okay. There you go. Stoner food.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I would just get a quesadilla if I wanted something that tasted like that. Or I would get a bean burrito with extra cheese if I wanted that. I don't want cheese on the outside. It's all oily, so I'm
grilled
stepping
up. Cheese burrito, yes.
They do a good
Later
quesadilla.
Later tonight. right after I ate 11 hot dogs.
Oh God.
Got one more, Lance?
In your house. Yep, one more. Vanilla Ice recently announced that he would be bringing back the 90s with a live performance at the Emerald Point Bar and Grill in Lake Travis, Texas, scheduled to take place this Friday. In an Instagram post earlier this week, the Ice Baby rapper shared footage from a packed concert along with the caption, "I can't wait to get back to this. The 90s were the best. We didn't have coronavirus or cell phones or computers." And then he says, "This was the last of the great decades." So his post ended up getting a ton of media coverage, mainly because so many people were outraged that he would even consider having a live concert in Texas, of all places, in the middle of the pandemic. And then after all the backlash, including death threats to the show's promoter on social media, Vanilla Ice found himself singing a different tune, making an announcement on Instagram this morning.
"Hey guys, gonna give you a little update about the concert in Austin. Basically, I'm not going. I listen to my fans. I hear all you people out there. I didn't know the numbers were so crazy in Austin, but we were hoping that it would be a lot better by 4th of July because we booked this concert a long time ago. So basically, just want to stay safe. You know, we do take it serious, and we want to make sure that, you know, everybody's safe. So we were just, you know, hoping for a good time, you know, 4th of July weekend. But it turned into be a big focal point on me, and it's not about that. So anyway, happy 4th of July, and hopefully by New Year's, this corona crap will have a cure. Come on. Go, Ninja. Go."
Probably the right move there, Mr. Vanilla Ice.
Go, and Ninja. I know
we kind of mentioned it a little bit earlier, but going to a concert at all in 2020, swipe left or swipe right?
It depends on the capacity. Like, if I went to the Forum, and it was 25% capacity. I'm trying to think. Who's my favorite act right now? If I was going to go see...
Mumford and Sons.
25% capacity. Everybody wearing masks at the Forum. I think I would do it. I think that would be a fairly exclusive experience to go see Mumford and Sons with 25% capacity. Or see U2. Or see Imagine Dragons. Or see any of the acts that I love. So, I don't think it's completely dead, Momo.
I wouldn't go. You couldn't pay me to go. No way, no how, no how. Yeah, no. Like, to me, I don't buy this whole... Anything indoors feels very risky to me. I was reading a story the other day that some of the research says they think some of the rises in the southern states, you know, in the south and west that we've seen recently could also be because of air conditioning, that people are spending more time indoors when it's hot. And just indoors is not as safe as outdoors, where it naturally dissipates the air particles.
So would you go see a concert socially distanced at the Hollywood Bowl?
Probably not. I would feel better about that than I would about anything indoors.
I'm starting to get bold now. I'm starting to get bold.
I feel like the way that you sold it earlier, if you're going to see like a big act that you love with a very small, intimate audience, that sounds like maybe, I don't know, I wouldn't say it's worth the risk, but I'd consider it.
Outdoors.
You'd consider it too? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the event. Like, okay, so the Dodgers are in the playoffs and they're facing... Let's just say the Houston Astros in the World Series, and it's 25% capacity. Are you really not going to go?
Yeah, I'm really.
I'm there.
I'm so there. I am so there. There are just certain things that are such high leverage things, like first game at SoFi Stadium to see the Rams play the Cowboys, Dodgers in the World Series against the Houston Astros. These are things that I would be willing to risk. Getting coronavirus over, assuming, by the way,
yeah,
What was the beat?
Well, no, just because
you're
saying,
I'd be willing to risk coronavirus.
Well, no, I'd be willing to risk potentially getting sick if I could go to one of those really cool things. 25% capacity outdoors, I'd say, yeah, I'll give it a roll.
But Vanilla Ice, not willing to risk your life.
No, I do not want to be really sick and think, God, I got this from going to a Vanilla Ice concert.
Can you imagine?
That's awful.
Can you imagine if that's where you got sick and you had, all you're doing sitting there thinking about it is, I had to go see Ice Baby.
What are you doing? All right, coming up next, Anthony Davis on the fact that the hiatus has actually helped him. And the Lakers and their chances to win a chip right now. We'll hear from Anthony Davis next. Mason in Ireland. Momo's in for John 710 ESPN.